have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Johnny and Sam. And you're fighting Alana. I have fallen to the Arizona Wildcats by a final score of 83-79 here. Illinois drops to 7-3. Arizona remains undefeated, moving to 9-0. Objectively, oh my God, what a basketball game. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty, of course, and from our Illinois perspective, but geez, like in terms of just objectively the excitement of that basketball game for 40 consecutive minutes, that was a barn burner.
Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth basketball. It was very stressful as a fan, I would say. A lot of fun when we went on that 19-0 run. Honestly, the State Farm Center was rocking. They did an incredible job. Students, I know it's finals right now. Orange Crush killed it. Striped the hall. Like it was great. Just so unfortunate you couldn't come out with a victory because that would have been a marquee win.
Yeah, that would have been. I mean, without your best player, good efforts. I mean, obviously, that's like...
Kofi.
No, he's saying it wasn't a great effort from Kofi.
Okay. I was saying, I meant not best player. One of your best players, not in the game. Like,
oh, Bello. Yeah,
respectable to hang in there, but it was a great game. The refs, surprisingly, like, didn't really take over the game.
We're already talking about the refs 120 seconds.
No, they, like, I don't have much to say.
Yeah,
they
like,
let
neither
play.
Team entered the double bonus.
It was just, like, a good, pretty clean...
It was a good game.
Fun basketball game.
If you're not a fan of either of these two teams, it was a fun Saturday afternoon for you to log on and watch this game. Absolutely. It was excitement from wire to wire. And yeah, no, I do agree with that. It's easy to harp on Bo. And shout out, sorry, what's the
Lewis Garrison.
Shout out Lewis Garrison for facing his fears, returning to the State Farm Center for the first time since the death incident there with Kofi, who tried to knock him to another dimension. So shout you out there, Lewis. We appreciate your strength in returning.
In boxing, they call that a strong chin. Someone who can't be knocked out easily.
Yes, that was Kofi's freshman year when he elbowed Lewis Garrison.
Was that 2 years ago?
Face.
It feels like, I guess, with the COVID year that we haven't had a chance to like even just reminisce on that with fans. But yeah, so... In terms of the game itself, I mean, obviously from the Illinois side of things, it was three ball or die. Illinois didn't have their first 2-point field goal in the second half inside of 8 minutes, believe, there in that second half between Plummer and Trent and Grandison. It was a 3-point shootout there, and it worked. You're shooting 60% from three in that second half, but of course that's not completely sustainable for an entire 20-minute half, especially when Arizona also started to kick it up there inside as well.
Yeah, and we just didn't have it the last 2.5 minutes. We went up by one, I think,
Kofi
after those
Kofi
free throws. And then, unfortunately, the offense just couldn't really click. And huge bummer, like the mental mistake there by Plummer. Like, he's been great all season. That game, he was great. But, man, just dribble the ball. That was so frustrating to have, like, you still kind of control of the game. Like, it was in your you controlled your own destiny as opposed to then you start falling.
How often do you see that call? I mean, he's being guarded. Plummer is 28 feet from the basket straight up. And, hey, it was a very fair, Sam pointed out, it was a very fair slow 5 seconds. You know, it was maybe 6.5 seconds there. So he had all day. And it was weird. I was kind of watching that. And it's a call you never see. So I'm like, oh, the ref is... is counting. Plummer knows to kind of start dribbling and moving away, right? Like, right. And then second after second ticks by, and it feels like, oh my gosh, any second now. And those, they called it. And so, again, a call you seldom see in college basketball now, but at the absolute inopportune time. And it's hard because Plummer did have such an amazing game, and we're not going to sit here and criticize him after his performance, after 8 of 16 from the field, you know, 6 of 14 from 3 there. 25 points, still remains perfect at the free throw line. But man, that's tough to sit there and watch that unfold in real time with the 5 second call.
Yeah, it was really tough. And it was a weird game, obviously, like we talked about with the, like, not really scoring inside the paint or just inside the 3-point line. And I guess the one positive takeaway is, like, that was probably one of Kofi's worst games, and you still like stuck with a really good Arizona team. Not to harp on Kofi, but just more of like he's always been so consistently good, and like it's not like 13-12 is terrible, but when you go for 5 for 15 and also have 5 turnovers, like he just wasn't his best performance. They were double teaming him. Like this was a performance hopefully that kind of gets you ready for the tournament, because Arizona has a lot of length. Hopefully you won't see some of the things that they were able to do to you like in the rest of the Big Ten. Like I really only think Michigan kind of has the length to compete with Arizona.
Second tallest team in the country. Yeah, so I would imagine that there is no Big
like,
Ten team.
Like you sometimes would see some of those like different camera views, and the lanes for guys to make passes were like impossible. So it's understandable that they were kind of overwhelmed. And unfortunately, Coleman Hawkins couldn't really do much. So once you put Grandison in there at the four, that's a big size difference.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned about like, I don't know if I'd call it lack of athleticism, but like Grandison and Coleman aren't like the fastest guy. So like when you have that length guarding you, can you like create opportunities? But Grandison had a lot of nice pump fakes. I feel like Kofi did a pretty solid job of like finding looks, working inside out. Like I kind of thought we handled the length better than I thought we might.
Kofi looked, there were a couple moments in that first half where Johnny and I kind of got giddy because Kofi was getting double teamed and then he was passing it out to like an open plumber and we're like, this is it. It's impenetrable. Either Kofi gets doubled and he kicks it out to an open three and it gets hit, or Kofi doesn't get doubled and he gets an easy bucket every time. And you might have noticed that assist statistic that they throw up on the screen there where Kofi has 7 assists this year. Last year he had 5 all of last year. So of course it's concerning, or not concerning, it's inspiring to see that, and it's a good sign to see that. But he couldn't quite get going, especially in that second half. They're getting blocked, what, back-to-back possessions there?
Yeah, that's something we've never seen. No. And I mean, that's what happens when the other team has a true 7-footer in Koloka. I think he's 7-1 even. And just, it was a human game from Kofi Coburn. It's not like he was awful. He still had some really good moments, and he was still like a beast at certain points. But just kind of a bummer we couldn't just get a little bit more out of him. Those 5 turnovers definitely hurt. And
long jump shot at
That was
Kofi, I love you so much, but that's like, and he hit one earlier in the game, was probably a little closer, but man, that's probably not your best shot. You're probably better off just taking a contested 3 from Plummer there, if anything, or from Trent or from Grandison. And let us shout out Grandison real quick though, because he did hit his head pretty hard and was bleeding pretty badly. I figured he'd be done for the game, and he came in like 3 minutes later and had that nice little runner to get right back into the game. And so that's definitely an everyday guy move right there.
And yeah, if we want to shout out someone too, we haven't talked about Trent yet, but like that might have been his best performance as an Illini. Like that might be a little bit of a hot take given we didn't win the game, but like the 3s that he hit, that run that we went on, like he played so well. And also 0 turnovers and 5 steals. Like he was everywhere. And it's a bummer that he didn't get to have that moment as a win at the State Farm Center. But like, wow, what a performance by Trent.
Yeah, absolutely. It momentarily reminded me of some of those freshman year moments where it's like, who else is scoring the ball? It's just Trent taking like deep contested 3s and he's hitting them like as a really bad Illinois team in conference play. But it's tough that he didn't get that moment.
2 things. One, I feel like for 5 years, it's always been like, are we going to have an offense tonight, or are we just going to like, is Trent just going to like shoot us out of it? And it kind of like felt like double, like with Plummer and Trent. Plummer was 8 for 16 from 3. Trent was 9 for 15. Like you're just like, all right, I guess we're just going to let Trent shoot his way out of it, which is crazy. The other crazy thing, I'm just realizing only 4 guys on Illinois scored.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really get much out of Coleman or DeMonte offensively. DeMonte had a couple passes, but like, same thing, Coleman had 3 assists, but...
Wow, 13, 25, 27, and 14. That's the point output.
Yeah, that's, once again, like, that's where you miss Andre Curbelo. Like, his ability to get in the lane and, like, stretch defenses in a different way. Like, I think we all agree we're playing well, but, like, we're not our best until we have Andre Curbelo, who...
A healthy Andre Curbelo.
Like, who... I remember we were talking to Tyler Cottingham at the homecoming tailgate when they had that open practice. And he was like, yeah, very clear. Andre Curbelo is the best player on the team. And he was like, yeah, Kofi's like amazing and he's Kofi, but Andre's like the alpha. He's the best guy. So like you had said, Sam, we're missing arguably our best player, just needs to get healthy. Obviously, everyone's kind of confused with the concussion, post-concussion, what's going on. We can't really speculate on that. We don't know.
No, it's not fair.
But we could definitely have used him, especially like at the start of the game and in the second half, where it was just like someone like Trent and Plummer are fantastic shooters, but neither of them can kind of break a defense down the same way that Curbelo can.
And it's not, it's just, it's not a sustainable style of basketball to rely on a 3-point field goal. Even if you've got two, three guys who are hot from the arc there, you're going to have to, like Arizona found a way to do it late in the second half. Was it Kerr who hit a couple of those floaters there?
Yeah.
You're going to have to find a way to get the ball inside to Kofi. And they were able to a couple times in the second half there, but it's not sustainable.
Yeah. And fortunately, like, yeah, we got a long season left. So hopefully he comes back maybe after bragging rights or something like that. Obviously the sooner the better, but hopefully just get healthy. But if you can hang with an Arizona team like that, who's going to be top five in the country once the AP poll comes out and they're number one in the net, like that's pretty encouraging when you don't have one of your key contributors. And also, can we talk about, you mentioned Kerr for a second. He's named after Steve Kerr, so that's his first name, but why is it on the back of his jersey?
So he really doesn't want to forge his own path.
Yeah. Went to Arizona. Steve Kerr went to Arizona.
Robert said he wanted to... I think Robert said he was named after Steve Kerr. I can't tell, like...
Yeah, no. Yeah. It said they had a graphic on Fox Sports, too.
That's such a random player to name your kid after.
Are his parents, like, huge Steve Kerr fans?
He's Estonian.
Steve Kerr is, or...
No.
Kerr is Estonian.
That's interesting. That really does not make a ton of sense.
You don't see that very often. You get to choose. You get to pick if you want your first or last name on your jersey.
I guess so.
Huh? Yeah. What would you guys do?
Johnny.
Yeah.
You just putting Johnny on the back of that. Oh yeah. Can you do like a nickname? Yeah.
Yeah. Like. Can you do a nickname? Yeah.
Can I do an emoji?
Yeah.
There are a lot of nicknames in soccer. Like Ronaldinho means little Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Well, it's different in soccer. Don't they do like the one name, especially like in Brazil? There.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting off topic, but I have a quote here that Brad Underwood said on post-game radio. This is his words. Quote, "This is the softest team I've had," end quote. I don't know if he's referring to Illinois. I don't know if he's referring to his coaching career. But those are some fighting words there, right? I don't know. Look, this is a physical game here. There were about 8 jump balls. Dudes are diving on the floor. I know from my seat here, I am not going to question the toughness and the tenacity of some of those dudes jumping on the ground. I'm not going to question the toughness of a DeMonte or a Trent. Like, he's the coach. Maybe he knows how to push their buttons at the right time, and maybe he's trying to rile them up a little bit. But those are some fighting words right there from Brad.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Maddie. Like, he obviously knows better, but this did not have a performance where I was like, wow, that was a soft team. Like, no, we actually out-rebounded Arizona in terms of offensive rebounds. We had 17, they had 16. Like, and when you consider the length, like, we were talking about it, seemed like the most number of jump balls we had seen in a college basketball game. And it was because both teams were diving on the floor. Yeah. Like, it did not seem like a soft performance. No. There were other things that we didn't excel at, but I wasn't walking away from that game and be like, where was the effort from the Illini?
No,
like, those guys
games.
Were tough, at least, unless he's talking about some of the bench guys.
I mean, this is a guy who, I'm not going to say intentionally doesn't call timeouts down the stretch, but it definitely seems like he likes to test his team early in the season in non-conference games. Like, for example, Marchetti really, like, pushed guys down. I don't know. So maybe it's just a mind. I don't know.
Yeah,
but, weird. I mean, we fell behind early on offensive rebounds, and we still battled back.
Yeah, we were not so good on the second chance points, though. That's really, if you're looking for, like, a key statistic, I would say. I don't have the number in front of me, but we definitely got out second chance points by a lot. Johnny, do you have that? It's a lot to a little. This, you could just tell. Again, the rebounds, it wasn't even that big of a deal with the offensive rebounds or being out rebounded, but they were getting those second chance points, and that killed Illinois there, especially down the stretch there a little bit. But sure, we've seen some performances from Illinois basketball where you're like, yeah, that feels like, okay, maybe a little bit of a softer performance. Like, where was the physicality on defense? And it certainly did not feel like that whatsoever. I mean, that felt like a physical 2.5 hours of college basketball where both of those teams wanted it.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like trying to, especially maybe the bench guys, but like, or if he's just saying like soft mentally, like Plummer lost some, like,
right,
just mental mistake there. Demonte had a couple of mental mistakes getting teed up. But when you lose a game by 4 points, like a lot of it is just like sometimes random things happen throughout a basketball game. Like there was one deflection that Demonte had that somehow lands straight into Tubelis's hands. And then he lays it up.
Gets the two.
It, like, gravitational pull comes back in, and like then it's a different game. But
yeah, to follow up on that quote, sorry, Johnny, yeah. He said on the right, he goes, you know, we're not tough enough yet to beat a national champion, championship caliber team. Which, yeah, I mean, this team probably is a Final Four contender. Maybe they are long, they are tall, they can shoot the ball, they're athletic.
And yeah, I mean, like, you play that game on a neutral court and it might be a different story.
Sure,
like,
but give me Curbelo on a neutral court.
Okay, then that's also a different story.
So maybe those two things kind of, you know, canceled out a little bit. And sure, Arizona is probably the better team. You know, the betting odds had it between Arizona. I saw it move about towards, you know, Arizona minus 2.5 or so by the time tip. They're probably the better, objectively, I would say, and after a 4-point win, the better team. But that's got to be a good sign for Illinois that you can hang in there against, like you said, Johnny, now probably a top five team, and you know, you can hang in there.
Yeah.
Kind of like I think of the Baylor game last year.
Yeah.
Where you're like, all right, this is a top, which ended up being the national championship team, hanging in there until basically what, the under four, under eight-ish.
Yeah.
You know, losing the game, but still feeling like, all right, you can hang in there with some of these heavy hitters that ended up winning the national championship.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that was the one thing was we did shoot really well from three. We shot, what, 44%, which as a team, like, That's very fortunate shooting some contested threes we made. So one might say, like, in a more normal game, Arizona wins by a little bit more. One thing that really stands out to me, though, which is uncharacteristic of Brad Underwood teams, was Arizona 18 fast break points, Illinois 3. As opposed to, like, that's where you missed Curbelo. That's where you missed Io from last season. Like, he was able to just get so many easy, like, okay, 6 automatic points a game just fast break layup, like, so easy.
Just
which,
being better than the other 9 guys on the court, more athletic than the other 5 dudes on the other team, just can slip past you. We miss him. We miss him a lot. You don't know what you got till it's gone there, absolutely.
Yeah, and 42-16 were the points in the paint, which is insane when you have Kofi Coburn.
That is insane.
It's not his fault, like, but no one else was really, like, trying to get in there, and got to give a lot of credit to Arizona defense, but once we get Andre Curbelo back, that's probably a different story.
Yeah, we did see the freshman in for a few minutes. I guess going back to the Brad soft comment, that maybe, like, part of the area he's trying to challenge guys. Like, last year, Coleman came in, gave some pretty serviceable minutes early on in the Baylor game. I feel like this is a time when we really could use a freshman to emerge out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's probably not going to be Pajemski right now. It's probably going to have to be RJ or...
RJ and Luke came in there in the first half.
I think they had like 4 and 7
minutes,
respectively.
I didn't hate RJ's performance.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. But I think this is like kind of the time when you want one of them to like really push someone for like 6th or 7th guy minutes.
Right. I feel like that was a storyline coming into it. Again, it's like,
yeah,
when you lose a guy like Io, who is going to be the one that steps up? Obviously not playing as well as Io or even remotely close to it, but who is going to be the guy that steps up offensively? And so far, it hasn't really been any of the new guys, and there's still a long ways to go. I mean, Plummer in terms of a new guy, but in terms of freshmen, yeah, like who's going to step up? And so far, you know, it's been a little frustrating to watch, but Sam, you liked what you saw from RJ there?
It was serviceable, but...
Like, he had good energy.
Good burst,
defense.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting adjective, like serviceable.
Well,
like,
no,
is that
was,
like a nice
good,
way of saying,
like,
you didn't screw up out there?
Pretty much. Like, he was in for a small handful of minutes. He did the job of, like...
Yeah, using his length. Like, you're playing against really good players in Arizona, and he didn't seem lost out there, which sometimes you'll see from other freshmen.
Fair.
The also other, like, silver lining, I guess, is that losing this game does not hurt your chances at losing or winning the Big Ten, which obviously you do want to have some good non-conference wins. And that's why you almost can, like, live with losing this game, but it reminds you that losing against Cincinnati really hurts, and losing at Marquette really hurts, because it would have been nice to have those ones on the resume where in those ones you were the better team. Like Arizona, I feel like first game we've played where I'd be like, I don't know if we were the better team that day, like, yeah. or just in general.
Without Curbelo, I can live with that loss, like that. Those things happen.
Oh,
but
of course, the Cincinnati Marquette game. I mean, Cincinnati lost to Bellarmine like a week later. And
Or Monmouth.
Monmouth, yeah. Bellarmine. And I mean, Marquette is, can I use Sam's word of serviceable? Are they a serviceable team? Are they better than a serviceable team?
Yeah, they're pesky.
They're pesky. All right, so pesky is above serviceable. What's below serviceable?
Mediocre, maybe.
Mediocre's pretty bad. Mediocre's almost bad. It's above bad.
Maybe below average.
Replacement. Average.
Whenever someone says average, they never like truly mean average. Average is never a compliment.
Yeah.
So, I agree. This was probably the first game. And again, like Arizona is the better basketball team. Credit to them. They fought their butts off. They came into a raucous environment and absolutely, they nurtured the storm there when we went on that run there. And they found a way to stay calm, cool, and collected. And
yeah, it's unfortunate that we went on the 19-0 run and just kind of let them come back into that game. Obviously, you can't sustain a 19-0 run for the entire game, but they were able to cut it to what we were up 4 at halftime, mm-hmm. as opposed to like if you're up 8 or 9 at halftime, and then the team's a little more like just
lively
angsty and maybe trying to do too much. Like they really did not appear to be flustered at all, despite a great crowd, despite a great performance in that 19-0 run.
And that's what a top 5 team does, right? They say, hey, you know, you went on a run and great, like, let's show you ours. And they did just that. And again, you know, credit to them, but absolutely, this is a tough one to swallow. This is a really, really tough one to swallow.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're all kind of Tommy Lloyd fans, objectively.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
He's got a lot of sophomores. Seems like he's doing a really great job. They bounced back from like a tough kind of firing. His spot opened up for Gentry, so he's really doing
hurting the Illini in multiple ways.
Doing some work on us.
Also, you do have to give credit to Arizona, and also give credit to the broadcasters for not mentioning it 100 times, which we probably will see on like social media all the time. But like Arizona did get dealt a pretty tough hand, having to Uber from Indianapolis, like, and they didn't let them bother them.
No. Yeah, absolutely not. I mean. We were joking reminiscing on, of course, that terrible incident with Michigan there, how, of course, everyone thankfully was okay, and then they absolutely just dismantled us in the Big Ten tournament in every way which you could, you know, dismantle a basketball team. And like, but this feels a little different, This feels a little different.
And not only did they dismantle us, they just won the entire Big Ten tournament.
We lent them our shoes.
But, but what was crazy was, we were saying this wasn't a life or death, so it might work in our favor. Because life or death, then you're like...
Yeah. You're like, oh,
we're screwed.
Yeah, we're toast.
Come back, kids.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the inconvenience, we're like, but it is Illinois, so you can never
What time did they get in? I'm curious. Like, they definitely got in super late last night.
Yeah,
last
morning. I don't know when they landed in.
I think it was like 8 or 9. I think that's when I saw it on Twitter. I don't know.
Okay, so maybe they still got like 7 hours of sleep. So maybe it wasn't that. It was a little overblown. Mm-hmm. The broadcast didn't maybe briefly mention it one time.
Which we were expecting a lot of talk about it. But when you have such a good basketball game, why waste your time talking about that sort of stuff?
That's a great point. Okay. Anything else? This was, again, a great game, but tough.
Last
tough to
takeaway
swallow.
Is you just need to beat Mizzou. Like, no more non-con losses.
Especially seeing what they've done. That's as much to do with them as it is to do with us.
They got destroyed. I mean, they got destroyed. Doubled up virtually by Kansas today. Who did they lose? What was the non-Power 5 team that they lost to?
Liberty by 20.
They lost to Liberty by 20. They've suffered some losses. Yeah. I know that Trent and DeMonte, there's blood in the water. Yeah. You think they want that?
Too.
Yeah. I mean,
Brad gets a nice little bonus check.
Yeah, he does.
Hey,
15K.
We get something bigger than a bonus check if we win that game, and that's not being absolutely miserable and depressed and our Illini souls being crushed for another year in a row. To me, that is priceless. Although I would like a check if we beat Mizzou. That would be really nice.
What's funny is, like, Trent and DeMonte know there's blood in the waters, but, like, that entire team has almost been erased. The guys, Javon Pickett's the only one who's there.
Which is why, like, even more so you have to beat them. Like,
Start Tillman, no Mark Smith, no Drew Smith. Like,
show these freshmen or young guys what.
Maybe show Kwanzo the door.
Yeah. Although, yeah.
Keep him around if
it's... Yeah, that is
true. Let him drag on a little.
Yeah, that's true. Brad will visit them in the locker room if we win. See if we can do there. So, yeah, absolutely. You cannot take any prisoners there. Still a couple of games until Bragging Rights here right before Christmas. Up next, Illinois hosts St. Francis, PA. Not to be confused with the other St. Francis that we played. Again,
we'll play
that,
any of them.
I was really confused when we did the pod on that. But yeah, again, Illinois unfortunately drops a heartbreaker. Great basketball game, but tough one to lose here. 83-79 Arizona. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next episode. ILL.